Welcome to MMA on the Rocks. My name is Bill Welker. You are listening to episode 328 of the podcast, unless you happen to be joining live on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube. If you want to catch the show live, you know what to do. Subscribe on one or all of those platforms. Turn on your notifications so you know when the show is live. Like right now. On a late Saturday afternoon. Today is September the 2nd, 2023. For anybody keeping track, we are fresh off of UFC Paris. I think that's what we're calling it. UFC Fight Night 226, if you want to get really specific. And we're going to see how this goes, folks, honestly, because I was debating whether or not to do the show right after the event while everything is fresh in my memory, but also freshly erased from my memory by this old granddad, 114, 114 proof Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey. This is a fantastic bottle. You can find it for $30 to $35. But fair warning to you, it may inhibit your ability to record a podcast. Just throwing that out there for any of you. If you want some free podcasting advice, don't watch UFC in the middle of the day and drink 114 proof bourbon whiskey. That would be my advice to you. But yet, here we are. Let's get right into it, shall we? Cyril Gane defeats Sergey Spivak in Paris, France, in the second round, 3 minutes, 44 seconds by TKO. I'll be totally honest with you guys. I thought Spivak would be able to overwhelm Cyril Gane, especially the way we saw that Francis Ngannou was able to outgrapple him. I thought Spivak would be able to close the distance, use his judo, get him to the ground, and just kind of smother him. But it seemed like Spivak was not able to get his game going at all in this fight. And Cyril Gane took full advantage. He did a great job keeping his range, weaponizing distance, and just kind of striking from the outside, landing to the body at will against Spivak, and kind of doing what he wanted to do against him, plain and simple. So, big win for Cyril Gane here. We don't know what's going to happen in the heavyweight division because John Jones is going to fight Stipe Miocic coming up pretty soon, I think, in a month or two. I don't know. I don't look that far ahead. But John Jones has kind of hinted that this is going to be his last fight. Stipe has also kind of hinted that he's kind of done. So we're in kind of a weird spot, right? Because Francis Ngannou may very well be the best heavyweight on the planet. We don't know because he walked away from the UFC. John Jones stepped in and demolished Cyril Gane. Now John Jones is going to fight Stipe. And no matter who wins, they may both retire. It seems like they both kind of feel like they have nothing left to prove. John Jones has said he doesn't want to fight Tom Aspinall or Sergey Pavlovich or any of the top contenders coming up at heavyweight because why would he? You know, why would he get in there with those monsters when they're not that well known? And I can understand that. You know, if you're John Jones and you've built the legacy in MMA that you have, You know, forget about all the outside of the cage stuff. John Jones is the best we've ever seen in MMA, period. I can't even entertain an argument in the contrary. I can't. John Jones is the best we have ever seen inside the octagon. He may be the worst person we've ever seen outside of the octagon, but that can't play into the argument that he's the best talent we've ever seen in MMA. So he may walk away. It sounds like Stipe is kind of done as well. I feel like Stipe will retire. Regardless, whatever happens in this fight, if he loses to John Jones, I think he's going to retire. If he beats John Jones for the heavyweight championship, what else does he have to prove? He's going to retire. John Jones, who knows what John Jones is going to do, honestly. I mean, my gut says he'll retire, win or lose, but you never know. You never know what could happen with him. And then what are we left with? Are we left with Ciryl Gane fighting Sergey Pavlovich for the vacant title? It just seems a little lackluster to me. I don't know. The heavyweight championship of the world is probably going to be vacated in a couple of months. And that's sad to me. But in any case, credit to Ciryl Gane for coming away with the victory over Sergey Spivak, who I thought was going to be much more of a challenge for him. I actually favored Spivak in this fight. I may or may not have given that to you guys as a pick last week because I don't like to give out picks. I'm not the betting on MMA guy. If you want that stuff, you have to look to Dan Tom or Brian Petrie or one of those guys, or Clint from the Die Hard MMA podcast. Those are the betting guys. I'm not the guy who will tell you what to do with your money. That's not me. I'm the guy who tells you what to drink while you watch fighting. And this week it happens to be old granddad. 114. That's me. I'm that guy. So here I am. Cheers to all of you. What's going to happen to the heavyweight division? Who fucking knows? But it seemed to me like Spivak did not show up in this fight. He was very tentative. I know he got hurt to the body early on, but I thought he was going to be able to close the distance and kind of smother Ciryl Gane a little bit. None of that happened. And, you know, Ciryl Gane comes away looking like a hero in front of the hometown crowd. Good for him. So that was that. Co-main event, Manon Fiorot. Thank you for 5 years of grade school French for allowing me to pronounce that name. Manon Fiorot comes away with a unanimous decision victory over Rose Namajunas. Rose, to me, is a top five female MMA talent of all time. She really is. She is phenomenal. In the same breath, I will tell you that her fight with Carla Esparza was one of the worst fights in MMA history. But I wish that that fight did not make her move up to 125 pounds. She is a straw weight. She will always be a straw weight. She looked a lot smaller than Manon in there. It looked like she broke or dislocated her finger in the first round. She really had a hard time finding her rhythm. And she really looked so much smaller in there against Manon Fiorot. I hope to see Rose find her motivation again, because I don't feel like she has it right now. She doesn't have that fire that she had coming off the Ultimate Fighter and winning the championship and being the Rose Namajunas we've all come to know and love. credit to her corner. They were giving her some great advice in between rounds. You know, Pat Barry in there telling her, you don't need your finger. Just go in there and hurt her, or whatever he said. And I'm not the biggest fan of Pat Barry outside of the Octagon, to be fair. I want to see Rose back at 115. I think that's where she belongs. She looked significantly smaller than Manon Fiorot in there. Manon, I think with this victory, she puts herself very close to title contention. However, we have Valentina Shevchenko and Alexa Grasso going back at it in the rematch coming up very soon. If Valentina wins, I feel like we have to see a rubber match for that. Granted, history is not in her favor because, you know, as Chael Sonnen says, when a younger fighter defeats an older fighter and they rematch, the younger fighter wins again, only faster. I don't know if I see that being the case. I mean, it was very competitive when Alexa Grasso and Valentina Shevchenko fought the first time. So I don't know if we're in that situation, but, you know, if Valentina wins, we're going to have to see that one a third time, right? Depending how it goes. I mean, if she knocks her out flat dead in the first round, like maybe not. Maybe Madden sneaks in there against Valentina. And of course, if Alexa Grasso wins, we'll probably see Alexa Grasso against Manon Fiorot for the championship sometime soon. But in any case, credit to Manon Fiorot getting it done in front of the hometown crowd against Rose Namajunas, who is, in my opinion, a legend of the sport. Let's see. Benoit Saint Denis getting it done against Thiago Moises. He had to kick him in the nuts a couple of times to get this done. but ends up getting the TKO second round, 4 minutes, 44 seconds. So right at the end of the second round, was able to get him out of there. He had him bloodied up. He had him beat up bad. But, you know, let's be honest, hit him below the belt more than once. And it's not a great look. But at the end of the day, he comes away with a TKO victory. Volkan Ozdemir with a submission win against Bogdan Guskov. And Guskov came in highly touted. But let's be honest, he was thrown in to the deep end here against Ozdemir. I kind of wish it hadn't gone this way. I did not like this matchup, you know. Guskov making his UFC debut. This guy is a killer, man. Never really been out of the first round. I guess still hasn't been out of the first round. He got submitted by Volkan Ozdemir. But I would have liked to seen him in some fights against lower level competition in the UFC. Maybe get a knockout or two before he stepped up to the level of competition that is Volkan Ozdemir. You know, Ozdemir had a rough go of it lately, but let's not forget, this guy was a main training partner of Anthony Rumble Johnson before he came into the UFC. What are you going to throw at this guy that he has not seen before? You're not going to give him anybody with more power than Anthony Rumble Johnson. Rest in peace, by the way. Anthony Rumble Johnson, one of the most exciting fighters of all time. And I don't want to hear an argument to the contrary. So, of course, Ozdemir was able to get in there, land some shots on Guskov, who was kind of overextending on his strikes a little bit. And I get it. You know, if you're this guy and everybody you touch just turns to dust, of course you're going to get into the UFC and think that's going to happen too. And it may be possible unless you get in there with someone as experienced as Volkan Ozdemir. Because this guy has been there, done that, seen it all, got the t-shirt, sent the postcards, etc., etc. So what are you going to show this guy that he hasn't seen before? His precision in his striking in this fight was phenomenal, as to be expected. He waited for Guskov to overextend himself a little bit, and he found his chin, got him to the ground, flattened him out, and then wound up getting the rear naked choke. And that's the end of the hype train for Guskov. I feel like they could have given him, I don't want to say an easier fight, but a more winnable fight for his UFC debut, because this guy is a beast. He's a monster. And I wonder what this fight is going to do to his confidence. I would love to see him back against, you know, more equal level competition. Someone also at their UFC debut, or maybe one or two UFC fights deep. But we'll see what happens. William Gomez against Yanis Gamori. This was a bit of a controversial one. Gomez was winning the fight handily, I think. And in the third round, 2 minutes, 20 seconds, he hits Yanis with a body kick that it was right on the cusp, folks. It was kind of low, but it kind of wasn't. It hit like right on the waistline. At the same time, when you look at it, he hit like the top of the cup, which kind of like pulls the bottom of the cup up, which I think should count as a low blow. Personally, I think if this had gone to the judges, Gomez would have easily won. But I don't know, man. I don't know if I like this stoppage by the referee here, because the referee saw the strike. He didn't think it landed low enough, so he called it. But the cage side referee was like, no, that was a low blow. I think we let this one continue, if I'm being honest. I think it should have gone on a little bit longer. Because it sucks, right? He didn't get hit exactly on the cup, but like right on the top of it. And that kind of pulls the cup up into everything. And that's uncomfortable for anybody who's ever been hit like that. That's very uncomfortable. Like, yeah, it wasn't a direct hit on the junk, but that sucks, man. That sucks for Gamori. In any case, not my call. It was the referee's call. And, excuse me, even though the cage side referee disagreed, here we have the TKO for William Gomez. Then we have a legitimate body shot finish. Morgan Charrière. Again, shout out to my 5 years of grade school French. Against Manolo Zucchini. Was able to finish him with body shots. It was the kick to the body that did it. Landed him with a nice body kick, and then on the way down, hit him with another one. 3 minutes, 51 seconds into the very first round, and Morgan Charrière was able to come away with a body kick KO victory. Taylor Lapalus against Kaolin Logran. Logran? I don't know. The Irish kid that was like talking a lot of shit leading up to this. It was the controlling of the distance for Lapalus that won this fight. You know, Logran showed his cards early. You know, he's trying to close the distance and take it to the ground, and he was not successful. So there we are. Lapalus coming away with a unanimous decision. This was a crazy fight. Ange Lusa against Reese McKee. This was back and forth. Lusa coming away with a unanimous decision win. But Reese McKee had his moments in this fight. You know, he had a couple of really tight guillotines in there. And he had some big shots against Lusa. But Lusa was able to, you know, hit some bigger shots against McKee. And McKee seemed like every time he got hit really hard, he came back really strong, to his credit, but not strong enough. So Angelusa winning the unanimous decision there. Nora Cornole. Unanimous decision against Jocelyn Edwards. I actually did not agree with this one. To me, I thought Edwards was pushing the action. You know, she was able to take Nora down. But, you know, Nora getting the home crowd advantage or whatever you want to call it. And she gets the unanimous decision there. To be honest, I was in and out on this fight. So if you want to correct me, fine. But I had Edwards winning this one. And that's not the way it went. Fareed Bhasharat, really nice arm triangle finish against Clayton Rodriguez in the first round, right at the end of it, 4 minutes, 15 seconds. Got him in a really tight arm triangle, got the tap, so credit to him. And then Jacqueline Cavalcanti, unanimous decision over Zara Farron. This was a very one-sided fight. It was a catch weight at 140 pounds. I don't know who missed weight or what the deal was there, but Jacqueline coming away with it, and rightfully so. She kind of dominated this fight. Let's look ahead to next week real quick. UFC 293. This is going to be in Sydney, Australia. And it's the champ, Israel Adesanya, putting it on the line against Sean Strickland. This fight seemed to come out of nowhere, right? We all thought it was going to be Adesanya against Dricus du Plessis, and then that never really came together. I don't know what happened there. I guess the timeline didn't work out, or they needed a main event. Of course, Sean Strickland is always ready, always willing to step up to any challenge. Look, anybody with a brain who follows MMA would say that Sean Strickland is severely outmatched here. But is he? No pun intended. But is he? Sean Strickland has a weird style, man. They're both kind of counter strikers. They both have very unorthodox styles. I'm interested to see how this plays out. On paper, Adesanya beats him everywhere, easily. But is Sean Strickland in his head? That's kind of going to be the key leading up to this. Is Sean Strickland in Israel Adesanya's head? He quite possibly is. You know, we've seen it in the past with Adesanya and Pereira, where Adesanya says, you know, I visualized knocking this guy out, and he did do it, but it took him a couple of tries. Look, when it comes down to fight skills, it's Adesanya all day. But when it comes down to mental warfare, Sean Strickland is something different. He really is. This is a guy with no filter, much like Adesanya. And he gets under people's skin. Granted, it didn't work against Pereira because Pereira didn't really know what Sean Strickland was saying. And also, Strickland was more focused on talking shit to Adesanya building up to his fight with Pereira than he was talking shit to Pereira. I'm very interested in seeing how this goes, because the obvious outcome is Adesanya dominates this fight. But I just don't know. I don't know. Will Strickland be able to get in his head? We're all going to find out together, folks. On pay-per-view, next weekend, September 9th, in Sydney, Australia. All right, co-main event, Tai Tuivasa against Alexander Volkov. This is an awesome fight. I mean, flip a coin, right? Tuivasa has that awesome power, but can Volkov keep him at bay for three rounds? Probably. He probably can. You know, we saw him shut down Derek Lewis for four rounds and like 59 seconds. Four rounds, 4 minutes and 59 seconds. So can he do it against Tai Tuivasa? Probably. But can Tai catch him with something before that happens? Probably. That's a fun fight. Fun fight. I'm actually really excited for this card. Manel Cape against Felipe Dos Santos, the undefeated Felipe Dos Santos. Manel Cape, you know, he's a guy who came over from Ryzen and with a lot of hype and, you know, had been like a point fighter early in his UFC career, hadn't really learned how to work the scoring system. And, you know, we'll see. Mark Fellows says, if you back Volkov, I want to see a shoey if he wins next week. All right. I'm not backing Volkov. I'm saying he can probably keep him away for three rounds. I'm not saying he's definitely going to win. And I would definitely not bet a shoey on it because that grosses me out. I've already said, folks, the only way I'm doing a shoey is if Billy Quarantillo wins the featherweight championship. That's the only way you're going to see me drink beer out of a shoe. Justin Taffa and Austin Lane. This is a fun fight. I heavily favor Justin Taffa in this one. That's all I have to say about that. Tyson Pedro and Anton Turkology? Whatever. I'm going with Tyson Pedro on this one for no other reason than his is the name I can say easier. What else did I see on here? Jamie Mullarkey and John McDessie. This is the fight I want to see. This fight at lightweight is going to be a banger. Somebody's getting finished in this fight, and I love it. Nasrat Haqparast finally getting a fight against Landon Quinones Stewart. Haqparast was supposed to be on this Paris card, I believe. They couldn't get him an opponent, so here he is. And that's all I have to say about that. So here we are. Short episode this week. If you guys want to grab some merchandise, it's at Reaper1.co is the website. You can get a over the top, under the influence t-shirt, tank top, or hoodie. Hoodie season is coming up, folks. Make sure you buy two because you know your girlfriend's going to steal one. So buy one that's your size and then buy one that's a little bigger that she can kind of cuddle in or whatever. You can use the promo code MMARocks10. Save yourself 10% on your entire order. Full disclosure, any money I make off of merchandise, I will spend on alcohol. So there's that. And that's all we got. I have some guests lined up for the podcast in the coming weeks. So, you know, keep an eye on that. I plan to have some fun people coming in here and talking about some different things. So you get to hear a voice other than mine for a change. Since Jeff the Animal Wilson has been on an indefinite hiatus because he has some career things he's working on. And we wish him the best in that. But we're going to get some other people on here. Make sure you guys are following on all the social media, sharing all the other things I've been putting up, the jiu-jitsu and wrestling and Muay Thai techniques and the whiskey reviews and the one-minute cocktails, and all that stuff that I have had so much fun making for you guys. But please make sure that you're sharing it and liking it and putting comments and all that stuff that, you know, helps it get over that little hump of the algorithm or whatever it is that helps people get out there on the internet. I appreciate all of you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for your feedback. Thank you for your criticism, as always, because I do listen. I don't always take it to heart, but I do listen to it. So in any case, that's all I got. Until next time. Cheers, everybody. Goodbye.